This is Eddie Huff, and you're listening to the latest edition of Fresh Black Coffee, where our coffee hopefully is fresh and black with a little cream and a little sugar, which at this point, allow me to thank and introduce my co-host, David Van Rizingham and Julian DeLeon, and they both do a great job. They really added to the program, and I'm thankful to have them with me.
Pay them more.
Nope, that ain't happening.
No. I heard Joe.
Yeah. Yeah.
When he whispers, you have to listen.
Yes. Yes. I see dead people.
By the way, on that intro, trivia, was that Greg X. Voltz or was that John Schlitz?
No, that was Greg X. Voltz.
That was Greg X.
Yeah, Voltz. Yeah, that was. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was John Schlitz. Yeah. That was John. Yeah, that was John. Yeah,
yeah.
I should know that.
The debate rages on. Who is better?
I don't think either one is better. They're both. In fact, have you seen the video? YouTube has a video of Petro Union Reunion.
Really?
And they have both of them. They have both of them. Yeah, check it out.
I got to check that
out. Yeah, yeah. And I've toured with both. You know, I think I told you I used to be a tour manager. Did you know
that? No, I didn't know
that.
I
used to do tour managing for Christian groups in their European tours and did a festival every year called Zoe, which is life. But, yeah, it's like had a lot of fun with them. I had more fun. Oh, I also did Greg Voltz band.
Yes.
With just Greg Voltz and his band. Yep. That was a lot of fun, too. But Petra, they were, man, we had some incredible. In fact, I have to tell you this one story. We did Stuttgart, Germany.
Yeah.
And we did the Stadthalle, which is their big concert hall, the biggest hall there.
Yeah.
And not a stadium, but it's a concert hall.
Yeah.
And the crowd was so big, they broke the doors trying to get in. Yeah, they couldn't wait to get in to see Petra. But it's funny. Do you remember? I think you would remember A-ha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take on Me.
Take on Me. A-ha.
That's right.
So A-ha was playing the same night in Stuttgart as we were there.
Yeah.
And we had more people at our concert than A-ha.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And then we actually went to see A-ha. Somebody got us free tickets in Munich. We did a thing at the Rockfabrik in Munich, or München, as the parents would call it.
Nice.
And we got to see A-ha, and I saw why we drew more people.
Oh, really?
Petra was better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, they were
good. A-ha was good. The Take on Me was a good song. They had some good, they had an incredible light show, but there was just no life in the concert. It was just, you know, same song, different lyrics.
Yeah.
But that was John Schlitt on
And Germany loves American music.
Oh, particularly really rock.
Yes.
They're really into the rock.
In fact, at this time 10 years ago, my son had a number one hit in Germany.
Really?
Van Riss, pull him up on YouTube, The Motions. And he got to tour there with the number one pop band. There was Revolver Held. He channeled his inner David Hasselhoff. Thank you. You're more German than I am, I guess.
Well, it'd be Hasselhoff.
Yes.
But speaking of, man, you got me in so many, you know, I was thinking of Shrek and what Donkey told Shrek, you know, I'm going to say, said, man, you got layers. There are layers.
Is that Eddie Murphy?
Dave Van Rizzica. Yeah, Eddie Murphy. I was going to say Eddie Van Murphy, but Eddie Murphy. That, honestly, Shrek to me, and we're way off the track right now. But it's okay.
There is a show coming, folks.
Yeah, well, no, this is a show. I think people will love it. I enjoy listening to crazy stuff that people
I love pulling it out of you, Eddie.
Well, wait, and you seem to do a good job of it, but Shrek has to be, to me, the greatest animated film of all time, the original one. And how many did they do, four or five?
Oh, gosh.
You know Julian?
Yes. Julian, you got to ask the teenager these things.
Yeah, yeah, he thinks they're four. Well, then it was the third one that wasn't very good. There was one that wasn't.
Mic him up.
Yeah, this Mike.
Hi, I'm Mike. Hello, how you doing? Hi.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
We
okay.
Awakened
oh,
yeah, John.
Hi, everyone.
Now we won't be able to shut him up. But okay, so you're saying it was number... Oh, they did four.
Okay, they did four, I think. Yeah, I think. I didn't
okay, but the third one I thought was pretty boring. I didn't like it very much. But
it's, yeah, it was, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, that's enough.
Okay.
Back to the sound room.
Going back to my little hole now.
Yeah, your hole. Go crawl back in your little hole until you're called upon again. No, we're so cruel, but we thank Julian so much.
Pay him more.
Yeah, pay him more. anyway, I think people are probably wanting to hear something. But anyway, getting back to your deal. Yeah, David Hassel, I remember it was New Year's Day of 1990.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget it. I was watching German TV. I lived in Augsburg, which is just west of Munich in Bavaria. And I remember watching the German television, German New Year's.
Yeah.
And there was David Hasselhoff on a crane right over the Brandenburg Gate, where the East German, West German border was in the Brandenburg Gate.
Mm-hmm.
But he was on this giant crane way up over and he was singing. He was singing a song, and I can't remember what the song was, but he was huge in Germany.
Oh,
he was really big, Germany, Austria. But I'll never forget, it was quite an event. There were probably a million people out there celebrating the new year because the wall had come down. And East and West had been unified. But there was David Hasselhoff singing away up on the on this giant crane. It was good times. It was good times. Speaking of that, before we get into our own celebration here, 4th of July, I did want to say, and I've talked about this before, because I want to continually remind people here in our country that when the wall came down, it did not mean the communists went away.
No.
A lot of people seem to have the impression that the former communists were raptured.
Yeah.
They were caught away or something. You know, they just disappeared. No, they went underground.
Yeah, they did.
And the leaders, a lot of them, you know, were assassinated and killed. Ceausescu in Romania.
Oh, yes.
I can't remember the East German one. He was one of the most brutal. He and Ceausescu were really bad, Ceausescu. And so many of them were killed. But the communists, hardened communists, didn't go away.
No.
Some of them adapted and became the new leaders.
And professors at our American universities.
And, well, and that's the bad ones. I'm not so worried about the former, you know, KGB guys like Putin and his guys, because we know where they are. We know what they're about, but it's the ones that they sent to subvert.
Yeah.
And related to that, which is even a bigger problem, is the Chinese.
Oh, yeah.
That if Chinese communist, is who is it used to call them? The Chaikoms.
Yes.
Chaikoms. That's an even bigger problem, how they have invaded our institutions. It's funny that the Russians seem to have, an Eastern European communist came in and infiltrated and put into our system, while the Chinese stole our system.
Yeah.
They stole our technology
while
the Eastern Europeans were putting into a new form of sociology.
Yeah.
It's really quite almost like a tag team. You know, you rob from them here and we'll replace it with this.
Yep.
Oh man. And America needs to wake up.
Yep.
America has to wake up to this because it's dangerous.
Yeah.
We are unbelievable. Every week you hear about something new that the college professors, high school teachers, and the stuff that's being put forth, taught to our kids, it's just insane.
Oh, there's nonsense.
It
absolute is. Nonsense when you can say, well, I identify as this, that way, that's why the government has to officially recognize what I identify as.
Yeah, it reminds me of the, in fact, it's a good segue right now, actually. I'm taking us backwards kind of in for what I want to get to, but the shot, the hammer thrower.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The female hammer thrower. And how she now is, the Olympic Committee is not going to sanction her when she turned her back on the flag and essentially said she's going to protest the U.S.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'll tell you what I would love to see. the most wonderful thing that could have happened and the thing that would really nip this in the bud would be if all of the number ones,
yeah,
the number one U.S. athletes
mm-hmm.
said, if she goes, I'm not going.
There you go.
Could you imagine yeah. if the top sprinters, pole vaulters, you name swimmers,
yep,
gymnasts, all of them said, if she goes, if anybody protests, we're done. We're gone.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that would send a shock, a ripple through the world.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, you know who Megan Rapinoe is?
No, refresh us.
She's the soccer player.
Oh, sure, yes.
She's
yes.
the lesbian soccer player.
Yes, the one who took her top off exposing her sports bra a few years ago.
Well, no, that was... No, they all, yeah. they've all done that.
Yeah, I know.
The first one to do that was in the World Cup back in the yeah. 90s. But no, Megan Rapinoe, she's the one that came out, first one to come out openly yeah. gay. She's very huge Trump hater, very yeah. left-wing.
Militant
and,
almost.
Yeah, yeah. and yeah. she's the one that refuses to stand for the national anthem.
Oh, yeah.
The United States national anthem. And I've often thought of it, have you played England?
Yeah.
Did the USA play England?
Mm-hmm.
Or the Dutch, or the Spaniards,
mm-hmm.
because they're the ones who brought the slaves here.
Yeah.
So if she's standing for their national, just think about it.
Yeah.
She'll stand for their national anthem, but will kneel for ours, won't stand for ours, when these are the people that brought the slaves to America.
Yeah.
Is that not stupid?
Or 3 years ago, they're playing an exhibition game, the NFL is, the Baltimore Ravens versus the New England Patriots. In Wembley Stadium in London, and the Patriots kneeled for our flag but stood for the Union Jack.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like, you're Patriots. Yeah. What does that mean?
Yeah. 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 I mean, all of it. Again, yeah. And not only did they stand for the Union Jack, they stood for God Save the Queen.
Yeah.
Which used to be God Save the King.
Yes.
The same king
yeah.
that was sending slaves to America and getting the money.
Yeah.
The same king that we had a revolution against.
Yeah.
Why we celebrate the day that's coming on Monday.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Or is it tomorrow? I guess the 4th of July is tomorrow. I'm sorry, not Monday. It's tomorrow. We get a day off Monday. But yeah, I mean, these things are insane. Brazil, you know, Brazil didn't end officially in slavery until 10 years after, 10 or 12 years after we did.
Yeah.
Do you know how many? Yeah, let me, boy. We're really
and by the way, Oklahoma ended slavery a year and a half after the United States did, because we were Indian Territory, and it was on the third Monday in January of 1867, the Osage finally released their slaves, last ones.
Just think about it.
Yep.
Who released their slaves?
The Indians.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? That just think about it. It wasn't the United States of America.
Yeah.
It was the indigenous people.
That's right.
Who still had the slaves. A lot of people don't even know. You know, there's a natural animosity between black people and Native Americans. I don't know if you knew that.
Well, there should be.
Well, I mean, yeah, it goes two ways, though.
Yeah.
See, they always talk about Wounded Knee and everything that happened to the Indians back then. But not many people outside the tribes want to talk about the Buffalo Soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo Soldiers were black Indian troops sent out to deal with the Native American population and the uprisings. And they were the most brutal.
Yep.
The Native Americans hated the Buffalo Soldiers because they would just basically torture and butcher. I mean, they were not nice people. And we even have a monument at Fort Bliss in El Paso.
Yeah.
To the Buffalo Soldier. They have a whole museum to the Buffalo Soldier. Wow. I wonder how long before they tear that down.
Yeah.
You know, you know, it's funny that they, you know, nobody's talking about tearing that down, but we're tearing down the monuments to Civil War heroes. And they want to get rid of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and all these people.
Yeah, and for all the streets in Tulsa that they now feel like we need to rename, they want to keep Greenwood.
Yeah, Greenwood.
Which is a slave-owning Indian chief.
Right, right.
Greenwood LaFleur, yes.
Right, right. From Mississippi. You know,
They won't do anything about that.
I know.
They've invested too much money in that green. Yeah, branding.
It's too well known.
It's all about the branding.
Right. In fact, the Gap Band would have to change their name. They would just be the App Band. Because Greenwood, Archer, and Pine is what the Gap stands for.
Goodness.
You never knew that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, the Greenwood, Archer, and Pine, they become the Archer and Pine Band.
How about that? Yeah.
App Band. Yeah. All right. Hey, man, we have digressed greatly. Hopefully you guys enjoyed all that. You learned a little something in there, too. I know I did as well. And I know Julian did. He's getting history firsthand here. Not in school. The stuff they're not teaching them in schools in America today. We're able to get across.
And Eddie, in your defense, we paid him more. We gave him mic time.
That's true. We paid him mic time. He said, pay them more. So we did.
Yes.
You consider yourself paid. I let you talk. By the way, I may be in trouble. I'm glad I'm black. If I were white, I'd be in deep doo-doo because Julian is three-fourths Hispanic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. Three-fourths. Maybe more. Who knows?
You know?
Yeah, who knows? but even his last name. No, his dad. By the way, I'll just speak of his dad real quick. His dad and I used to, like you and I, argue on Facebook a lot.
Sometimes.
Oh man, he would be brutal. He was very anti-Republican, anti-establishment, and so forth. But last time I met him was last fall, I guess. Or maybe it was in the spring. Anyway, changed man. I mean, it was like, whoa, what did you do with Tony DeLeon? You know, what did you do with this man? You know, because he sounded like me. You know, I was like, whoa, you know. So I think it goes back to the, have you heard the saying that if you're 20 and not a liberal, you have no heart?
That's right.
And if you're 40 and still a liberal, you have no brain.
That's right.
Yeah. So that may be what happened. Maybe his brain finally developed to understand that this is not working out for us, my kids, my grandkids, and so forth. Yeah. So maybe that's what. But anyway, hey, people, turning the page a little bit, I won't get too serious, but I do want to say Jen Psaki this week made a big deal out of the fact that saying that the 4th of July meal this year, tomorrow, your meal tomorrow is cheaper than it was a year ago.
Yeah.
And it's cheaper, a hot dog meal is 16 cents cheaper than it was last year. Now, my question is, who eats hot dogs on the 4th of July? Does your family eat hot dogs on the 4th of July?
Oh, only when we run out of burgers.
Thank you. Julian, you guys eat hot dogs on the 4th of July?
We usually have both, but burgers are better usually.
Yeah. And the people I know, most of them, it's going to be either burgers, brisket, ribs, or steak.
Yeah, we feed hot dogs to the kids.
Well, yeah. So, okay, Julian. Julian wants to...
That's me. I'm a kid. Hi. Yeah, no. Okay. Yeah, we used to eat a hot dog. Okay. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I just want to talk, man.
All right.
Out of control. I'm going to have to pull that mic. But, yeah, it's... She is pairing a hot dog meal. Where you're saving 16 cents. And I don't even believe that. In fact, I heard a report later that what she was actually using was May's numbers, and the June inflation numbers haven't come out yet. So even a hot dog meal is not really 16 cents.
Well, I stopped by a Walgreens last night to pick up a prescription. I noticed they had a sale on candy bars. I went, they dropped the prices. One thing I've always known about Snickers, it was 2.02 ounces. Always you could count on.
Right.
Is that they're down to 1.5 ounce.
Yeah.
They're cheaper, but it's smaller.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, Miss Jen Psaki. Are they smaller hot dogs?
You know, that could be.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I realized that coffee went from 1 pound to 0.75 pounds. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
You used to buy coffee by the pound.
Oh, yeah.
And then I noticed, oh, wow, it's cheaper. Coffee actually went down. Then I realized it's a quarter of a pound less.
Yeah, it's 12 ounces.
Used to get.
Yeah.
And that's the games they play.
Yeah.
And the bags that you don't see through so much anymore.
Yeah.
Have less chips.
Oh, boy. Yeah. A lot of air.
Yeah. Same price, but They're playing mind games. Yeah. But anyway, as I like to do, read from the Babylon Bee.
Oh,
the latest news from, yeah. So a man spending $5 a gallon on gas, he's excited to learn that he will save 16 cents on cheese this year. Los Angeles, California. Local man Henry Chuckman was filling up gas today in preparation for the holiday weekend. The 19-gallon tank in his 2016 Camaro cost nearly $95 to fill up. Thank God we don't live in L.A. And he was feeling pretty down about how expensive the gas is under the Biden administration. That is until he pulled up Twitter and saw that a slice of cheese would cost him 16 cents less this year.
Wow.
Than last year, thanks to Uncle Joe. Wow, a whole 16 cents. Thanks, Biden, he said. Yeah. His mood having instantly shifted to one of joy and optimism. This will change everything. I better drive home and tell my wife. He happily drove to his house, spending over $5 in gas to drive the 20 miles home. Americans everywhere are pumped for the full 16 cents they'll be saving on barbecues this year, as long as they don't have to drive anywhere to pick up their groceries.
Yeah.
Since the gas costs would offset any savings on onions, mustard, relish. But according to the White House, as long as the nation is willing to walk to the grocery store, keep their air conditioning off, and not buy chips or soda, they'll have a full 16 cents to burn.
Thank you, Babylon Bee.
Yes.
I got to say, the Consumer Price Index, which was always the government standard which we judge inflation, they always, historically for decades, have excluded food and fuel from those two things. So I'm wondering where the White House is getting its data from on this.
Well, it's old data.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's old data. It's probably and they picked and chose. If you look, they have a photo on the news. You can see what the items that they picked.
Yeah.
It was like beans and cheese, hot dogs and buns, things like that. But anything that most people really eat for a 4th of July meal.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I did some steaks a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, you're a rich man.
I bought them at Reeser's. Well, I didn't think I'd have to be until they told me how much the steaks were.
Yeah.
This was at Reeser's. Mm-hmm. And the butcher's friend of mine, one of my clients actually here, he's a butcher for Reeser's. And he told me, he said, oh, man, yeah. He says, it's insane how much they've gone up. He said, just in 1 week, they went up $3 a pound.
Jeez.
Steaks for prime rib.
Ouch.
$3 a pound.
Yeah.
So, it was, and they were, you know, ribeyes are already expensive. But, you know, when the appetite calls for a ribeye, brisket just won't do.
Yep, that's right.
This is to conclude, and you can take that to the bank, said President Biden happily. 16 cents will buy you a lot. You can go get a soda pop down at the Hop. Pick up 16 candles, or even go see one of the new talkies.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Yeah, that's your way. But happy 4th of July, everyone. Happy 4th of July. I do want to congratulate everyone on our nation's independence.
Yes.
Formerly known as Independence Day.
Yep.
In case you haven't heard, the new Independence Day is June 19th, a.k.a. Juneteenth.
Yeah.
And the year of America's birth is no longer 1776, but it's 1619 now, because that's when the first slaves that weren't slaves came to America. So anyway, that is where we are today. It's sad, actually, that our White House is so full of CRAP that you can't believe or trust anything that comes out of there. And Jen Psaki, I mean, honestly, it almost sounds like she's drinking sake when she's up there giving us this stuff, you know, because it's like, are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
And, what's his name? Ducey, Steve Ducey's son.
Oh, Peter.
Peter? Yeah. Peter. Yeah. He's like the fly in the ointment.
Oh, you know? Yes.
He said, excuse me, but, you know, and she tries to change the subject.
Oh, yeah.
Give it to Peter. He stays after. He's become like, what's the guy that used to give Trump the hard time all the time?
Oh, yes.
He's not nearly as obnoxious or as rude.
Yeah.
But he's really good at what he does. Yeah. I'm glad at least Peter Ducey is keeping up the family tradition of doing real journalism and going after it like he should.
Yes, yes. And the Emerald Robinson from Newsmax let in sometimes, you know. But yeah, Peter seems to find a way to get his question in at the end.
Yeah, maybe because of Emerald.
Yes.
You know, if we don't call Peter, we got to call on that Newsmax lady. Really bad. You know, we can deal with Peter, but not.
Yeah.
Hey, so David, tell me, what's going on in Oklahoma?
Well,
what do we need to know about?
Well, the vaccines are about running out of demand here in Oklahoma. And
supply or demand?
No, demand.
Oh, so people don't want them anymore.
That's right.
Those who wanted them have gotten them.
That's right. And, you know, throughout all of this year and a half of pandemic, people wanted to mandate masks and mandate, you know, this, two masks, three masks. And I've always had to tell my conservative friends, don't argue the science, argue the constitutional right to decide. Because we too many times think that, well, if we can just undermine their science, that'll take care of the issue of mandating it for us. And really, we've got to get back to that. So Governor Stitt decided to get vaccinated. He got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which I took a look at.
And that's the one I would get if I were going to get one.
And actually, last week I was under the influence of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. I come here Saturday morning after having shakes and chills on Friday night from it. And they told me I'd get that, and I'd probably, you know, act like a crazy man at a podcast the next day. But
but we cured you. You were cured by fresh black coffee.
Yes.
There's the answer, people. Instead of vaccines, just get some fresh black coffee.
Yeah, yeah. Now, and the problem is with those people trying to criticize the vaccines is they just lump them all in and say it's unsafe, it's unproven, it's untried, you know, and so like that. So I agreed with our governor, Kevin Stitt, let's go with the old-fashioned proven technology of the kind of vaccine that just spurs on your natural immune system.
Yeah, let's stop there a second. Explain why J&J's vaccine is different from the others.
Yeah,
Pfizer and the Merck.
Right. They're using the old technology of taking a weakened or dead virus cell, introducing you to it, not in a way that would potentially kill you, but enough that would spur on your body so it identifies it, begins building that army of antibodies.
In other words, like a flu shot.
Exactly, like the annual flu shot would be. So that's how it works. Now, it does, according to the science, take a little longer to get you to peak immunity, probably 6 or 7 weeks, maybe a week or two longer than the other, the mRNAs claim to. The plus it has is you're not introducing a brand new medical technology of changing somebody's RNA in the same way. You're actually with the other two, Merck and Pfizer, I believe, they're using a technology where it tells your body to create a new organism and then fight it. And does it work? Well, in theory, all vaccines sound good. As our friend Jim Meehan says, you know, the theory sounds good. It's in the actual execution that it doesn't always deliver the way we think it would. And, you know, so I took a look at it for myself and just celebrating my 60th birthday. It really came down to simple this, Eddie. If I get COVID, which there's not much chance I get, but if I do, I'm out for maybe 2 weeks. And I could just get the shot at my doctor's clinic for free and on a Friday. And by Monday, I'm fine, which actually by Saturday morning, I was fine. So it was just a simple dollars and cents. Do I want to miss 2 weeks of work and, you know, and be a pain for my wife to deal with, you know, because I'm not a good patient when I'm sick. My wife will tell you that. So
I don't know many men that are. Yeah, you know, that's one of the complaints of women. Man, they go through childbirth and monthly periods where they have problems.
Yeah.
Pain, discomfort, and, you know, we get our once a year, once every 5 year illness. Poor pitiful me. Honey, can you do this for me? Yeah. Honey, can you, do I have to, I can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, that's the typical guy, unless you're like me, of course. Yeah. I don't ever complain.
No.
In fact, I'm dealing with extreme illness right now as I'm speaking.
Really?
Yeah, I've got 1 foot in the hospital right now. And Julian's looking at I'll have to confess later that I'm lying. But anyway, but seriously, we do. It's weird here. Oh, I have to tell you, for example, just interject this.
Mm-hmm.
When my kids were little, my wife and I made a deal. Like in a boxing corner, I was the cut man. Uh-huh. So if there was blood, bruises, blood, breaks, I'm your guy.
Oh, yeah.
If it was an internal thing where the kid is just, you don't know what it is, you can't see it, but they can't hardly breathe or they're, no, I can't be around it. It just kills me. Oh, one of my oldest son had croup.
Yeah.
And we had to take him to the ER twice within his first year of being born because he couldn't breathe, and they had him in oxygen tents, and I mean it was but he would lay there at night barely breathing, just barely gasping for breath, and I'm praying, I'm trusting God, I'm believing, and I'm dying with him. I'm sitting there, I can't breathe anymore because in my way I look over, she's asleep. And she's asleep, and I'm awake all night just trying to breathe with this kid, help him. Like my breathing is going to help him breathe and make it. Finally, I said, "We got to take him," you know. And then she, the wife, she ended up being the one to sleep in the room with the kid. You know, she's next to him while he's under this oxygen tent, and you know, I'm at home now. I'm sleeping, you know, because doctor will take care of it. But I think that's the difference that I see in men a lot of times that we can deal with what would seem like gruesome, horrible things, but when it comes to sickness, particularly stuff that you can't identify.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're like that. It's me. It just kills me. I see a little kid suffering, a child suffering, an animal suffering, an animal limping or whimpering or laying there.
Yeah.
It just kills. It tears me apart.
Yeah.
Now, if I see an animal that has its leg cut off or something, let me grab something, wrap this up.
Wow.
And take you to the vet.
Yeah.
You know, that because, you just have a missing leg. They can fix that.
Yeah.
But if it's, you know, you've been run over and you've got internal injury or something like that, I'm just, you know.
Well, especially when it's one of your own, you know.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, Eddie, you and I are the first generation that got to be in the labor and delivery room, right? Our dads had to sit out and wait, right?
I was actually in during a C-section.
Yeah.
For my wife and one of us.
Yeah. But I tell you, and it's not always been a good thing. Dr. Bob Aikman, rest his soul, he's gone on to be with the Lord, but he comes in the room and my wife is just agonizing and just severe pain. They haven't given her anything yet. And I'm about to pass out from my wife's pain, you know? And Aikman sees me and he says, "Sit down." And he pushes me down onto the chair and he grabs my head and he pushes it down between my knees. He says, "Keep your head down there." He says, "I don't need two patients to care for today."
Wow, he was a big guy.
Oh, yeah.
We should tell his story one day. We'll defer it because you know the whole thing, how he was an abortionist.
He told
got
that.
Saved and realized.
Yeah, up in Canada.
Yeah, and realized that this is not right.
You're right, yeah.
So it's a great testimony. Yeah, he was my wife's OBGYN as well. So as so many people in this town.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's one of those deals. I think we're gonna go ahead and take a break because we're halfway through.
All right,
man, this has been good though. Hopefully, you people at home are able to enjoy and understand what we're talking about, relate to it. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. All right. After a short break, we're back. Hey, I'm going to change subjects here briefly or quickly. I don't know if you've heard this story, Dave, but Massachusetts police just within the last 24 hours arrested 11 men after a standoff. And it's a group of armed individuals that say they do not recognize our laws.
Oh.
Yeah. So when I tell you that, what's the first thing in your mind that, you know, armed group of people that don't recognize the laws? What's the first thing that runs through
your mind? Well, it's an insurrection. I don't know. That's...
And who do you think about?
Oh, gosh, I could think of any number of people right now.
But normally, I think white militia.
Yes.
Or white supremacist group. Yeah.
A separatist group. Separatist, yeah. And
right, something
but
like
then
that.
The Black Panthers, especially the 70s Black Panthers.
Yeah, but we don't.
Symbionese Liberation Army, you know, organization.
Right. You haven't heard anything in the news about anybody that in a while. It's so.
Right.
Most people, when you hear that and when you read it, first thing you think of, oh, another white separatist or a white militia group, white supremacist, okay?
Yeah, sovereignty group.
Right, something like that. Well, Massachusetts State Police arrested 11 heavily armed individuals following an hours-long standoff that started around 4 a.m. on an interstate highway during the traffic stop early Saturday morning. So it was just happened, like I said, within the last 24 hours. A group of men carrying rifles and handguns fled into the nearby woods
of
Route 95. Police initially reported a number around 8 men, later revising it to 11. Now, here's where it gets interesting. First of all, we haven't said anything about these guys, who they are, or anything like that, right?
Mm-mm,
well, finally, State Police Colonel Christopher Mason told Boston 25 News that the men had identified themselves as part of a group called the Rise of the Moors, a group that does not recognize our laws. When I saw Rise of the Moors, I instantly knew they're black.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
They're black. The Moors, because...
Moroccans, right?
Well, yeah. They actually had a Moroccan flag with them. But it's interesting. They never say they were black. They never say anything about them, which is a tip-off right away.
Right.
If they don't mention the race, that means they're black, Hispanic, something. They're not white.
Oh, that's true.
Because if they were white, they would instantly a white supremacist group or a group affiliated with white supremacist, white militia, et cetera, something white.
Yeah.
There's something white in them. They would mention it. But because they were a black group, in fact, a lot of people don't know that the Nation of Islam, which used to be known as the Black Muslims, were initially the Moorish Science Temple, MST, the Moorish Science Temple. And they also attributed their heritage to the Moors. And the Moors is big. Do you know why they choose the Moors as their example?
Let's see.
Historically.
Northeast Africa.
You would probably figure it out. Or it'd actually be Northwest Africa.
Northwest Africa. And, you know, first I heard Moors is when they invaded Spain.
Right.
You know, and the Spaniards had to drive them back out, and there was a...
Well, the first one was even during the Roman Empire.
Okay.
Hannibal.
Okay, yeah.
Remember Hannibal? With his elephants, came across and entered into Europe. So, Hannibal was a Moor.
Oh, okay.
And so that's, to me, the reason that they choose the Moors, because they're proud of Hannibal, and, of course... You know, Hannibal was strong, and he actually did some damage. So
taking on the big empire.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But anyway, the this group was arrested. Their self-professed leader wanted it very much known that their ideology is not anti-government. Our investigation will provide us more insight in what their motivation is and what their ideology. Nobody even knows who these people are. Just, you know, oh, man, there's, you know, 11 black men with guns and weapons and stuff, so everybody's freaking out. The men say they have reassured the police they are not sovereign citizens, black identity extremists, anti-police, or anti-government. And they believe that they just want to be sovereign and independent and feel they should be able to carry their weapons.
Wait a minute. You say they're not a sovereignty group, but they want to be sovereign. Okay.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It's not making sense, is it? Right.
No, it isn't.
That's what they say, yeah.
Well, you know, we've got some of that here, even in Oklahoma. We've got the Irish Mafia, most of whom have no Irish in them at all.
No, right, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting that you have now these black organizations rising up. In fact, there's a really big, it's a subset of the NRA, but it's geared to the black community.
Okay.
And it's really growing. So it's kind of interesting that the people trying to pass anti-gun laws, they're starting to have a problem with legal black gun owners.
Yeah.
That there are a lot of people in the black community that understand, wait a minute, the police aren't doing it, particularly if you're defunding us.
Yeah.
And so we need to protect ourselves. So there's a rising momentum here. Yeah. And in Tulsa, even one of these city councilors has been very much in favor of joining and encouraging black Tulsans to join this new organization to allow the carrying of guns.
In fact, Stuart Rhodes, head of the Oath Keepers, is in the news. And really, about 6-7 years ago when the Ferguson riots happened, and those who really suffered were in the ethnic minority community, the shopkeepers and owners whose buildings got looted. Well, the Oath Keepers there in Missouri decided to come to their assistance. And so they came to this minority community and encouraged and helped the shopkeepers to arm themselves. Well, Stuart Rhodes, the national director of Oath Keepers, disfranchised the Missouri Oath Keepers over this issue because he said the optics of it, of arming minorities, was causing him a problem nationally. And I'm like, yeah, but you say it's, you know, shall not be infringed. That doesn't mean unless they're black.
Yeah, right, right. Exactly. You know? Yeah.
So I got to say what happened here on the race riot centennial thing when the black men were marching. Fortunately, our law enforcement and the cool heads in the group pulled that off without a hitch.
Right.
Other than the gang drive-by shootings that happened right there later in the day.
That kind of poo-pooed that whole
idea, it did. But, you know, you got to say on principle, the right of peaceable, law-abiding citizens to have guns, you've got to support.
Oh, you're right. In fact, in my book, I deal with this, that I don't know if you knew it, but back this is hard because so many of our listeners are huge Ronald Reagan fans.
Yeah.
You're probably a big Ronald Reagan fan.
Yes, I am. Okay.
Me, not so much.
Okay.
Believe it or not. It's conservative. I believe I'm more conservative than Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. But back in the 60s, the first group to exercise the freedom to bear arms was the Black Panther Party.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan is the one who initiated California's gun control laws.
Yeah.
He's the one that, when he was governor.
Yep.
That was Ronald Reagan doing, and that's what started the whole, you know, gun suppression.
Absolutely.
Legislation that is trying to spread nationwide. But that's where it actually began, because they were afraid of these black guys running around in public.
Yeah.
Armed.
Well, yeah, and I gotta say, Reagan needed to be called out on that.
Yeah.
And you can respect a man and still point out where he's wrong.
Right.
Kind of like I do with you.
Oh, yeah. No.
He agreed. Julian's my witness.
I don't want people to get me wrong. I do respect Ronald Reagan. In fact, I think he realized the error of his way. I just wish he had mentioned it, that he had said, this was my, you know, I did this, but I may have overcorrected or I may have made a mistake.
No, I can think of about 5 or 6 things top of my head that I said Reagan really screwed up.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's great. Right. But that doesn't negate who he was, his core principles and all of that.
Yeah.
We all make mistakes.
Yeah.
We all make mistakes. You know, occasionally Biden will do something right or Obama will do something right. And we need to mention that or honor it.
And but everybody, we've got a monument to in this nation. Yeah, you know, the folks that are throwing a fit over one or two things, they don't take it as a whole.
Right.
What this person accomplished.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Reagan, Bush, one, Bush two, even Clinton. I mean, I have to say, the more I look at the things Clinton did, he probably did more right than wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you really look at the actual legislation he pushed and did, he actually did a lot more. It was like the public persona and what he actually did. Now, a lot of the credit for the right things he did, though, go to Newt Gingrich.
That's right.
The Republican. Because if you look at, what was it, 1996, I guess it was, when the new Congress came in.
Right. Well, 94, but they really caught steam. And by 97, Clinton signed a balanced budget agreement with Newt Gingrich.
Right.
How many Republican presidents have signed a balanced budget?
Yeah.
None.
I can't think of them. Yeah. And the other thing, if you think about it, the cutting welfare.
Yeah.
That was another Clinton thing.
He did.
So it's funny because we want to hate or wanted to hate Clinton. Clinton era, but in retrospect, Clinton probably did more good than Bush did.
Yeah.
So, I hate to say that. I hope everyone will forgive me for saying that, but I do want to tell the truth. And now, the stuff Hillary chose to do or wanted, proposed to do afterwards, that was totally different from the things that Bill actually did while he was.
Yeah. In fact, I was listening to Dick Armey just a couple weeks ago. He said, you know, because he was Clinton's chief political strategist, Dick Morris, excuse me. Dick said after the 94 election, which they got trounced, he said, I'm so liberal, I don't even recognize myself. That's how bad Clinton got off the reservation into far leftist stuff. But after that defeat, he went to Congress, said the era of big government is over, and his next 6 years were not so bad. Not so bad. We had great economy. Yeah. Fact is, some of it was things he shouldn't get credit for, but he does. The dot-com boom was, you know, pretty wild.
Well, it was. Oh, yeah. It was just a time. It was just the time, just like George W. And the whole collapse of the banks and all. That's the thing that Congress did through there. In fact, I always like to pull up the numbers. The Bush economy turned south in July of 2007. And I'm sorry, 2008.
Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah. But what happened was that Nancy Pelosi took control. I don't know if you remember, the Democrats took back control of Congress.
In 06, I believe.
I'm sorry, it was 06. Yeah, so it was 07 when it actually, it was 06. I'm sorry, I'm just getting my.
Well, it was the November 06 election where, Pelosi
and in 07. So it was like July of 07 is when things turned around. But if you look at the economy, every indicator was high.
Yeah.
And in January, the Democrats took over Congress, all of Congress, Senate and the House.
Yeah.
And that's when, by July, everything started going south.
Maxine
Waters got control of stuff, and it went nuts until the Republicans took the Senate back. Remember, they took the Senate back, what was it, in 2010, I think?
House in 10, it seemed like it took a while
But and Bush was already gone. But then all of a sudden, because you remember Obama's first couple of years were rough.
Oh, very rough.
He had a rough year, and it was because of that until the Republicans again came in. And it's just like with Clinton, when the Republicans took over, all of a sudden the economy started getting good. The Republicans took over during the middle of Obama's reign. And things started getting good.
Yeah.
And now it's the other way. And all of a sudden, things start going south again. That's just
a good longtime client of mine who's both a home builder and a banker told me 2 years in advance that crash was coming. Wow. And he says, look, both President Bush 43 and Congress, especially the Senate, are to blame. They wanted to raise home ownership from the historic 62% up to 70%. Now, that's more than a 10% increase. And he said, those are 10% of the loans go to people who
aren't worthy,
should not have a loan. Right. And he said, a 10% mortgage failure is enough to collapse the whole system. Right. And he said, it was actually the pressure that was put on the mortgage lenders. The federal government was threatening to take them to court, you know, for not agreeing to more loans, especially to at-risk communities, right. You fill in the blank. And that's exactly what happened. And the bankers knew it was coming, you know, a couple of years in advance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so. It was ridiculous. I mean, the whole deal. And, yeah, and that was one of W's big things, black ownership, black home ownership.
Yeah.
Everybody's owning homes, and whether they should or shouldn't,
right.
They were – the access was there,
yeah.
And in a way, it led to his own demise.
Yep.
Him trying to be nice led to his mm-hmm. demise, and sometimes you just can't. You have to demand more of people.
Yep.
Hey, I want to get back to the rise of the Moors, their mission. I just want to read this. The main focus of the rise of the Moors, again, this is the group of people that was arrested in Massachusetts just this morning, early this morning.
Wow.
And their mission is to perform all relating to and appropriate to portraying the overall history of our ancestors, the Olmecs, I've never heard of, the Moabites, I've heard of them, they weren't good guys, the Canaanites, the Hittites.
Oh, God.
it's the honor roll of everybody that the Jews had issues with, informing all Moors of their political status here in the Maghreb al-Aqsa, America, Morocco. The most extreme West. Enlightened, they want to enlighten the minds of the fallen Moors, restoring them. This doesn't make sense. Restoring them their in full life. I don't know what that means. In full life.
Okay.
In propria persona sul juris status.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's what all that means.
Well, you got to get the sermon tape, you know.
I must. As opposed to the mentality of a minor who is civil litter mortus. Man, he's throwing the words around.
Latin
reminds
words.
Me of Michael Eric Dyson. He throws the same kind of stupid stuff around that nobody understands. Yeah. That, Rise of the More Social and Economic Platform connects them to the Moorish Americans to promote the use of moral principles and branches of knowledge dealing with ethical awareness to encourage all Moorish Americans to believe in the capacity of each other to succeed in business, to encourage, support, and provide patronage in our affairs. Now, the one thing that I do think that you and I can agree with, the 14th Amendment Equal Protection Law, or TULIP, they say that the basis of black people's citizenship, as well as Latino and other islanders of South Americans becoming naturalized in North America, is the 14th Amendment. Now, I don't agree with that part, but the fact the 14th Amendment is supposed to offer equal protection, but it's for citizens.
Subject to the jurisdiction thereof.
Exactly.
And they just took themselves outside that jurisdiction,
they actually,
didn't they?
Reversed it, exactly. They did the exact opposite.
So they can't have it both ways.
No, you can't. You can't have it both ways.
But, you know, I think of these guys, you know, some men join the Moose Club, the Elks Club, Kiwanis, that fraternity, you know, maybe the Masons and that. Hey, just boys wanting to get together and have a club. They're not a threat. They're just an ideology, you know.
Hey, one more thing I wanted to discuss this week to finish it out because we're running short on time. Our banter has bantered a little much today.
Right.
But the whole fact of the Democrats suddenly abandoning the defund the police.
Yeah, it's the Republicans' fault now.
Yeah, have you noticed that?
Yeah, how about that? They're spinning it every which way they can. You know, I don't understand how they think are we that stupid?
You know... I don't know if you remember this book, but Herman Cain wrote a book called They Think You're Stupid.
Oh, yeah.
And when I had him on several years ago when I did a podcast way back in the, when was it, about 2005, 2006, he was on and we were talking about his book.
Yep.
They think you're stupid. And I told him, well, Herman, you need to get ready and do your sequel, which is called, and it appears they were right. because I think we are stupid, or great percentage of America is stupid.
Yeah.
And because they're pulling this stuff, and how in the world can people buy that when and that is the one thing I have to say that I question some of the conservative media when they're in there speaking to Jen Psaki.
Yep.
Or anyone from the administration, they never seem to ask the right questions.
No, they don't.
They're always asking this, you know, all I would say, excuse me, Ms. Psaki.
Yep.
Name a Republican. Name a city run by a Republican. Name a state. Name a Republican that has publicly asked to defund the police.
Yeah, that's exactly
it. And what they're trying to do is to say that through a particular act that the Republicans were...
is an omnibus spending bill.
Exactly.
That many Republicans said, no, we're not going to do that. That had some federal money, grant money, matching money, that was available for municipalities.
Right.
When actual police budgets are always determined by a city council.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that comes to that they think you're stupid again.
Yes. And even the Judas Iscariot, Chris Wallace, is spinning that thing about that it's the Republicans' fault because they didn't sign this big omnibus federal spending.
Yeah, I don't know if his wife said she's not going to sleep with him anymore unless he acts that way. I don't know what happened to Chris Wallace. Nah. I mean, really, it's crazy. But yeah, anybody that is actually paying attention knows that every city where the defunding has taken place, has been proposed, is run by Democrats.
Yeah.
Totally.
Including Norman, Oklahoma.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gone to seed liberal. Oh,
totally. Yeah, why? Why do you think that is?
There's a college there.
There you go. Professors.
Yeah.
And where do they get these professors?
They get
them from some liberal institution because they're smarter than these conservative professors, right?
Yeah.
It just drives me insane.
A college town near where I grew up, eventually in the 70s, the kids on campus got smart. They realized they were a big voting block. And by God, they took over the city council. And they put all kinds of rent controls in and tenant rights and all kinds of things to make it where it wasn't worthwhile to own rental property there because they make you jump through hoops. And they would do everything they can to coddle a bunch of wayward party-going, you know, frat boys off campus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's... unfortunately.
But that's the power of a university in a municipality like that.
It is. Yeah. It is. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's funny, though, too, though. I think of the book of Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's Isaiah 3. I don't have my Bible with me, where right at the beginning he says, and women and children shall lead them.
Oh.
He was prophesying about that fall of Israel.
Yep.
And one of the things that was causing the fall of Israel was the fact that women and children were leading them, people that did not have sound minds.
Right.
And when I look today, it's the same thing.
Sure.
I mean, you look at the Squad, you look at Nancy Pelosi, Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, these women that have been in leadership for the last 20 years and the new ones that are coming on board, so many of them, camel hair.
And don't forget, how dare you? You know, you got these kids going on these world tours for all their causes, whether it's the kid from Florida. Yeah, Greta, you know, on environment. What's the kid's name down there in Florida?
Oh, yeah, David something.
Yeah.
He was part of that shooting.
You're right. And so they're making celebrities out of kids who will parrot whatever narrative their movement has for them.
Yeah, and they listen to, oh, look at them. Look at this child prodigy, Greta von Thunberg.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
And so the girl's just stupid. I mean, what she did, she took a boat across the Atlantic or something, yeah. and that's her claim to fame.
Yeah.
She knows zip. And if you listen to her and watch her, there's something wrong with her. There's
yeah.
something not right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, but that always comes to my mind, David, seriously, that always comes to my mind, that scripture, that women and children shall lead them. And I advise anybody at home listening to this
yeah.
to look it up. I'm pretty sure it's Isaiah 3 that it's one of the first verses there well, and deals with it a couple of times. But
manhood's being put down for generations.
Yeah.
You know, Naomi Judd said, you know, every male role model seems like on TV is some doofus. You know, whether it's Tim Allen or whatever. And we're a long way from that role where, you know, men had a strong role as being a man,
right.
a caregiver, a provider, a protector. It's time we get back to that. Somebody's got to say
trust it. The science.
Yep. There you go.
I mean, we hear about trust the science. The science says exactly mm-hmm. what you say.
Yeah.
It's not being chauvinistic. It's not yeah. being anything. Men just have propensity for different things than women do.
That's right.
Getting back to our hammer thrower.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is the third place person that they're making a big deal out of.
Right.
And the top two women, you know, it just makes no sense. Which brings me to our final story. I do want to talk about this. Sha'Carri Richardson. Do you know who that is?
No, tell us all.
Sha'Carri Richardson, she's a sprinter. She's the American champion, and she's not going to be able to participate in the Olympics in the 100-meter race after she tested positive for marijuana.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Richardson won the 100 meters in the trial in a 10.86 seconds, and she tested positive after that, and the results were released. So the fourth place person, Jenna Pradini, is expected it to take her place. She accepted her 30-day suspension, which ends on July 27th. Mm-hmm. The USA Track and Field, they have not disclosed plans for the relay. Apparently, the way the date works out, it looks like the relay is after the 21st, so she can still participate in the relay, but just cannot run in the
Olympics. How is marijuana performance? Well, exactly.
I mean, you know, yeah. I am glad we didn't. And by the way, everyone at home, we never discussed it. That's exactly what, to me, marijuana would be a performance retarding.
Yes, give me the munchies, man.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know if
you know. Remember Cheech like and remember Cheech and Chong up in Smoke, where they said, "Man, we're driving too fast." Well, they were parked on the boulevard.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I don't think I want to run today. Y'all go ahead. Y'all go ahead and do this. You know, let me just sit over here and give me some more Cheetos.
Yeah. Now, related to that is somebody who a man. That you know went through a quote gender change, actual physical surgical castrated, okay. And they're saying, well, since his active testosterone in his bloodstream is below a certain amount, then he now qualifies as a woman. What they don't realize is for about 30 years, this man's had the testosterone that actually builds the bulk, builds the muscle, the bone structure, everything else, and now. You know, he has the benefit of all of that, but because this month his testosterone is low, he has no advantage over women.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I'm surprised that the former Soviet Union, Bulgaria,
mm-hmm. yeah.
the former East Germany, Romanian athletes, the Russians, the Ukrainians, all of them that were stripped of their medals because the women tested high in testosterone or something, they had their medals taken away.
Yeah.
Honestly, they should unite and sue the Olympic Committee. And I'm surprised it hasn't happened. They should seriously. In fact, I would love to, if I were a lawyer, I would take their case.
Yeah.
So you give me back my medals and you reinstate me as the champion because I guarantee you my testosterone levels were lower than the ones that you're now accepting for these men.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, but it's amazing. That's one reason I brought this up because that's the exact same thought I had. Wait a minute. I mean, and listen, I was against legalizing marijuana in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy it mm-hmm. because to me, there's only two people that benefit, two types of people that benefit, those who want to get high and those who want to make money from those who want to get high. That's the only people that benefited from the new lax marijuana laws.
I've got four groups of patients that actually benefit greatly from it. And those four groups of patients I'm going to defend.
Well, good. We'll have to get into that.
Yes, we will.
You and I have been agreeing too much. So, we gotta get back. So maybe that'll be fodder for our next episode of Fresh
Challenge
Black
accepted.
Coffee. Yeah, we'll discuss the whole things of legal marijuana.
Yeah.
And with THC included.
Absolutely.
And why you believe that that should be legalized.
Well, I believe that the folks that need it.
Yeah, we're gonna I don't want to get into it now because we'll be another hour or so.
All right.
But anyway, Julian, thank you so much.
All right.
And
the debut of Julian.
The debut of Julian. Hey, thank you, everyone. Have a great week. Sun is shining in Tulsa again after much rain. And we look forward to being with you again next week. This is Eddie Huff for Fresh Black Coffee.